Dear Sangha, today is the 18th of November in the year 2010. We are in the Fumu Temple of New Hamlet. And we are going to continue the Sutra of to enjoy the ultimate. Ask the sisters to reduce the volume a little bit. The sutra to enjoy the ultimate is translated from the Dhammapada in Chinese, sutra number 36 in the Nirvana chapter. In the sutra, in the Pali text, they didn't find this sutra. So the Nihuan in Vietnamese mean Nirvana, and we translate it to enjoy the ultimate. The Nirvana is the word, is the place for us just to enjoy. So now we go back into the six. The deer take refuge in the countryside. The birds take refuge in the sky. Phenomena manifest because of the discriminating mind. The wise ones take refuge in Nirvana to live in freedom. This is the best verse. It's like the deer, they feel very comfortable to be in the countryside. And the birds, they feel comfortable to return to the space, to the sky. So they take refuge in the sky. So these two animals, they give an indication that happiness is can happen.
That happiness is not possible without freedom, and that the deer, birds like to have space. They don't like to be caged. Phenomena manifest. It's because of the discriminating mind. Phenomena are mountains, trees, people, animals, water, air. These are phenomena. And phenomena are manifested from the discriminative mind. And without a discriminative mind, we cannot come in contact with phenomena. Therefore, perception is phenomena, and that perception is the ground of all phenomena, and that the root of all phenomena is from the mind, and that all phenomena manifest from our perception. We are manifest from somewhere, and it's Nirvana, and that Nirvana is our homeland, it's our root, and that the Jingying are true person, true man, true woman. That the true man, true woman, rely on Nirvana as their true home, their place of return. And our question is that whether Nirvana exists or not. That Nirvana exist or not exist does not really describe nirvana. It's only a perception, and that our notion of being and no non-being does not describe nirvana. Just like cloud or sky or space, and that we think if we say that it's limited or unlimited, it does not really describe the sky, the space. The truth is that there are people who are able to come in touch with nirvana, who are able to come in touch with their true nature, their true root, and they feel free. And therefore our practice is to be able to come in touch with nirvana, to come in touch with our true nature so that we can be free. Just like the birds who want to take refuge in the sky, or the deer who want to take refuge in the countryside, so that they can be free. But these are only examples. The deer, the birds, the sky are only examples. And that we have to be intelligent enough not to get caught in the examples. The birds can lose the sky, that they can be caged. Deer can lose the countryside if they're caged and we too, a human being too, that we can get caught in our busyness, in our anger, and are unable to come in touch with nirvana. But to talk about example, for the birds to be, the birds has to leave the cage to be able to go into the free space of the sky, the vast space of the sky, and that the deer has to escape the zoo before they can go into the countryside, and that we have to leave our prison before we can be able to touch nirvana, and that nirvana can be found in space and in time. That the bird has to return to the sky, the clouds. But the sky and the space is not outside of the bird. Just as the deer is not outside of the countryside, and that nirvana is not outside of us, and that it does not need to be searched for outside of us, outside of space, outside of time, and that it can be found right within us. And therefore, the example of a bird going back to the sky, or the deer returning to the countryside, is different from our reality of touching nirvana, and that we don't need to go anywhere to touch nirvana. There are people who are new to the practice, and they think that Pure Land and the Buddha Amitabha are there for us, and that we need to go to the West, to a space in the West, and that after we die, and that we are reborn into the Pure Land, in the West. But this, to understand the Pure Land in that way is to get caught in that example. But there are teachers who taught us that the Pure Land or Amitabha Buddha is not outside of us, that it is within us, and that it's our ground, our own ground, it's our own nature, it's our self-nature. Amitabha Buddha is our self-nature, and it's not outside of us. And that the Pure Land is right within our heart and mind. And that it's not outside in space and in time. And that the nature of Amitabha Buddha is our own nature. And that the Pure Land is within us and it's not outside of us. And people who've been in the practice for a long time can really experience that. And that the Pure Land is not a reality outside of us, but it's right within us in the present moment. And if we can get out of our afflictions, our ignorance, then we can really experience it for ourselves. People, the Christians believe that paradise and God are realities outside of themselves, up in the sky, and that we are on the ground. And our practice is to be able to be close to God with such to be in the presence of God. Therefore, we need to pray. Seeking the nearness of God. And that we need to pray in order to be near to God. But there are people who've been in the practice for a long time, who are enlightened, who see that Pure Land and God are not realities. They're not realities in space and in time, but they're right within them. There are Christian mystics who can see that, who can be free from the duality view. That they see that there is really no difference between God and themselves. And these are enlightened people who've been in the practice for a long time. And therefore, in both tradition, Buddhism and Christianity, there are people who are able to transcend this duality, and are able to come in touch with Nirvana in the present moment, and that it is not outside of them, or it's not in the future. And therefore the true person can experience Nirvana right now, in the present moment. And that when we are able to come in touch with Nirvana, we can be free. And that we don't need to go anywhere. We can be right here in the present moment. We don't need to go search for another environment, another place, and that we can be right here and be free. When science developed and let us know that the world is created by something and that the earth is not the center of the universe. The people's belief in the Bible had really collapsed because science says that the earth is not the center of the universe and that it is only a space among so many, only one planet among many planets out there. And that human is not a special species. And that human is evolved from other species, from single cell organism, evolved to be human, and that human species is the youngest species, the newest species there is. And when science present this new insight, people really lose touch, lost faith in the Bible. And that people are no longer believe that God create the world, create the environment for the world, people to live in. And that, with that faith shaken, people are really lost. Yeah. And when people are lost, they no longer have ethics to guide them in their lives. Therefore, they become lonely, they become angry, they become lost. And then there's a they went through a crisis in themselves. There's a crisis in their faith in their religion, their faith. And that to be able to, we have to put God in the right place before we can have faith in that we can have ethics to guide us. Because for a long time we have placed God in the sky, and that we need to confront God. If we put God in our heart, and that there's no difference between God and us as two different realities, then we can regain our faith. We can bring peace in ourselves. And this is true in Christianity. This is true in Buddhism. This is true in other faiths. And in Christianity, there is a notion that when we take refuge or we rely on God, that we can feel really, really at peace. Resting in God is the expression that we can find in the Bible, in theology, and that when we rest in God, we are no longer fearful, no longer suffer. We're free. That when we come in touch with Nirvana, when we live with Nirvana, then we are no longer suffering. We're no longer grieving, sad. And that Nirvana is a part of us. Nirvana is us. Nirvana is in us. fifth verse, when we read this verse, we have a feeling that Nirvana is a phenomena, just like everything else, but it's really not. You are reborn in heaven because you have sown good seeds. You fall into dark realms because of your unwholesome seeds. Nirvana is the same. Because you do the practice, you realize Nirvana. So people who are doing evil are born in dark realms. People who are doing good are reborn in heaven. And that's the fruit of our actions. And Nirvana is the same. And that it's the practice that helps us to realize Nirvana. And it feels as if it's something it's a tangible phenomena. Just like a flower is manifest from a seed, from farmer, from clouds, from rain. And that Nirvana is manifest from the practice that we can, and when we think of it in that way, when we think that we have to practice in order to touch Nirvana, and that if we don't practice, we don't touch Nirvana, then people can misunderstand Nirvana and that it can exist or not exist. And that just like God, if we say God exists or does not exist, this notion is not correct. And that we should not put God into a notion. If we say God exists or does not exist, it's waste of time. Waste ink. Waste paper. Waste saliva. Just so it's the same as Nirvana. To say Nirvana exists or does not exist is not right. It's not correct. And the truth is, there are people who are free, happy, because they are able to come in touch with their true nature, the nature of no birth, no death, no going, no coming, no being, and they feel free, they feel well. They are able to come in touch with Nirvana, they are able to touch God. So the example that we use in Plum Village, that also exists in the teachings of the Buddha, is the example of the cloud or the waves on the ocean. The waves, there are waves who are high, low. There's the birth and death of a wave, the coming and going of a wave. And a wave suffers because it sees itself as being existent and not, or non-existent, dying or being born. But if the wave can practice, if the wave look at itself, it sees that it is a wave, but at the same time it is water. And that when it can, if we can see ourselves as water, then we don't have to suffer. And that whether it's existent or not existent, whether it goes up or down, whether it dies, it's born or die, it does not affect us. And that water is an example of Nirvana, and that the wave doesn't need to go elsewhere to look for water, that because wave itself is water. And that Nirvana is our source. It's our, and that we need to go back to ourselves to tap into it, and that we need to place Nirvana at the right place, then everything will be okay. So the sutra is very important. It gives us some instructions on how to come in touch with Nirvana that is existing now and here in ourselves. So let us read from the beginning. There's the English text. Patience is the best way to protect yourself. Patience here means that we're not hurried and that we accept things as they are. And that everything is there, that we don't really need to panic or... Nirvana is praised by the Buddha as the highest. It's true, because that's freedom. Nothing can harm you when you let go of the worldly life. Living a life of chastity without transgressing the precepts, and you are able to calm your mind. This is the practice. In the fifth verse, and that it's due to the conditions of practices that we are able to realize Nirvana. And to practice, we need to let go of the worldly life and live a life of chastity without transgressing the precepts that we have received. And that we are able to calm our mind. If we can do these things, then nothing can affect us. And that we are able to touch Nirvana from simple practices as these. And it's very realistic, very simple. And that if we practice the precept, then we're not afraid, we're not fearful. And if we are able to calm our mind, then there's really nothing for us to be afraid of. And if we can guard ourselves from the worldly life, the five senses, the five pleasures, then we are no longer a victim of suffering, of attachment. And that is Nirvana. That is already Nirvana. Patience is the best way to protect yourself. Nirvana is praised by the Buddha as the highest. Nothing can harm you when you let go of the worldly life, living a life of chastity without transgressing the precepts, and you are able to calm your mind. The second verse, the absence of illness is the greatest happiness. People are buy and share now because they're thinking of benefits. And the shares are going up and down, and we are also going up and down with it. And this is not really a benefit. So a benefit, the greatest happiness or the greatest benefit is living a life of absence of illness. And to know you have enough is the greatest wealth. You have enough. Don't try to have more. Jituk is knowing to have enough. People who know they have enough, then they're the richest people. Faithfulness is your best friend. Without faithfulness, we cannot be a friend, a good friend, best friend. So a good friend, a best friend is someone who's faithful. Nirvana is the supreme happiness. absence of happiness is the greatest happiness. Therefore, we need to live our life in a way, eat in a way, drink in a way, live in a way, work in a way, practice the precept in a way in order to protect our body so that it can be light and free. To know you have enough is the greatest wealth. When we know that we have enough, then we are very rich. We can be a millionaire, billionaire. But when we think that we can be richer, we can have more, then we are no longer rich. Faithfulness is your best friend. Without faithfulness, we cannot have good friends. And Nirvana is the supreme happiness. And this freedom is not a wishful thinking of something that does not yet, that something that we do not yet have. At first, Nirvana is not a Buddhist term. It's used on a daily basis. And Nirvana means that it cools down. For example, when a soup is too hot, then we let it cool down before we can eat it, like a burner. When it's too hot, we can't really touch it, and that we need to let it cool down before we can touch it. And so, Nirvana, it's a worldly term. It means cool down. When Nirvana is used as a Buddhist term, it means that too. It means cooling down. When we have some afflictions, such as craving, anger, the afflictions, craving, anger, anxiety, are the flames that burns. When we are burning, then we're not cooling down. We don't have Nirvana. And so to remove the craving, the desire, anger, doubt. These are fires that burns, and when we can remove them, then we can have Nirvana, that we are cooling down. So Nirvana, first of all, it means cooling down. And then later on, it has a more abstract meaning. It has a more metaphysical meaning. So Nirvana, it means cooling down. And therefore, in many sutras, it defines Nirvana as the absence of afflictions, of craving, anger, doubt, craving, revenge, ignorance, pride, self-pride, and doubt. So Nirvana is not something not something abstract. It is, Nirvana is the absence of these afflictions, these mental formations. And that when we are able to tame these afflictions, then we experience Nirvana, we experience cooling down. So the deer and the bird, they are able to escape the cage, to go back to the countryside or to the sky, and they can be free. So the same thing for us, if we can remove these afflictions, be free of these afflictions, then we can touch Nirvana, we can be free. So we can sit right here, but we are not burned by the flames of afflictions. We are Nirvana. And that the waves can go up and down, but it can be really happy because it knows that its nature is water. So it's important that we are able to wake up. Hunger is the greatest illness to bear, the third verse. Mental formations cause the most suffering. By observing reality, you see that Nirvana is the greatest pleasure. And this line means that when the mental formations such as craving, anger, jealousy, doubt, when they're no longer there, then we can be really cool. And that it is something we can experience. Hell is there and Nirvana is there. Hell is there when we are caught in these afflictions. We get carried away by these afflictions. And when these afflictions are removed, then it's Nirvana. The fourth verse, in life, few people have the chance to go on the good path. Meanwhile, many people go on the unwholesome path. By observing reality, you realize that Nirvana is the safest place. By observing reality, you realize that we don't need to metaphysical inquiries to really understand this. And that Nirvana is the safest place. For the birds, the sky is the safest place. For the deer, the countryside is the safest place. For a human being, Nirvana is the safest place to be. It's a place where there is no afflictions. And our practice helps us to come close to Nirvana and to swim in Nirvana, to bathe in Nirvana. And the practice is not something very, very hard, complicated. There's a story that Thai have told many of us, that there is one time in the fragrant palm leaf monastery. It was really pleasant. But at around 2 o'clock, it started to, the clouds rolled in, and that Tai needed to go back to his hermitage. And when he came back to hermitage, he was, Tai sees that everything was messy because Tai had opened all his windows and doors so that the sun can go in. And when the wind picked up, the cloud blew in, it blew everything around the hermitage. And so the first thing that Tai did was to close all the windows and doors. We don't want to be bombarded by the cold and the wind. So after we close the doors and windows, we lit up a candle. Tai lit up a candle enough so that, and then after lighting the candle, Tai put up the fire in the stove, put on the fire on the stove, and when the fire's burning and warms the house, it warms the hermitage, Tai starts to go around the hermitage to collect all the paper that were blown around by the house, by the hermitage. And so that's when the hermitage becomes warmer, cozy. So it only takes 10 minutes for the situation to change. At the beginning it was cold, it was messy, and only after 10 minutes of practice that the hermitage is cozy and warm. It was bright, and the wind was not able to come in anymore, and it was very pleasant. So in the same in our daily life, when we don't have mindfulness and concentration, we are really opening all our doors of ourselves. The five senses are the doors, the windows, and that the wind from four directions can blow in. Because we are unmindful, we leave all the windows, all our senses open, and the winds come in. And the more we try, we're trying our best, but the more we try, the worse it gets. We try this practice, we try the other practices, and the more we try, the worse it gets. And times as such, we need to close up all our senses, all our doors, and to find a safe place. We need to cultivate mindfulness and stillness, concentration. We need to first of all close up all our six senses. And that we can practice that by being aware of the breathing. That we don't need to get more information from outside. All we need to do is go back to ourselves and close up our verses. We don't need to think. The sixth sense is our mind, and that we don't need to think. We don't need to look. We don't need to think. And that's the practice. And after a while, after 5-10 minutes, we can go back to ourselves and create peace, warmth, and light. We have to have light and warmth. And the warmth and the light, it's something we can create with the practice of mindful breathing, by the practice of sitting still, by the practice of going back to our own island, so that we would not let the winds of life to come in and cause us to suffer. And so that practice is very close, get us very close to Nirvana. It's important that in situations as such, we need to know what to do. And that knowing what to do does not mean that we have to deal with things outside, but it's about coming back to ourselves in order to create light, to create warmth inside of us, and that it can be created with the energy of mindfulness and concentration, and that with mindfulness and concentration, we can light up the light in ourselves. And it's from then that we know what to do. There are times in our lives when we don't know what is the right decision. It's a state of loneliness, confusion, state of confusion. We don't really know what is the right way to do things. And at times as such, the best thing that we can do is to come back to ourselves and to close up all our doors, our senses, and take care of our inside with the practice of, with the energy of mindfulness and concentration. And that's when we know what we want. And that's when we know what it is that we want to do with our life. When we can see, then it is insight. It is wisdom. And it's with insight or wisdom that we have peace. It's with insight and wisdom that we know what we need to do and what we need not to do. We need to practice. In this text on Nirvana, it mentions about the practice. And it's not metaphysical contemplations. There's suggestions, practical suggestions and practices that we can do to realize Nirvana. Just as when we are coming back to our hermitage and change the situation, bring in peace and well-being to ourselves, the affliction such as sadness, grief, fear. If we can take care of them, then we can touch Nirvana. And as practitioner, we need to know where we're going or where we want to go. What do we want to become? And how to be happy. And that we have to be free. We have to have freedom. We don't want to be burned up by the afflictions such as anger, attachment, jealousy, and that our main goal is to be able to experience Nirvana in our daily life, and that Nirvana is not a project that we have to realize in 5 or 10 years, but Nirvana has to be lived and touched here and now. just as a flower, like this flower. The flower has 5 petals, 10, 20 petals. When we look at the flower, we can see there's the stem, there's the pollen, and to be a flower, it can be beautiful, it can be beneficial, it can, and so for us, it's the same. What is it that we want to be? We want to be a flower. And in this flower, there are many petals that can, and that maybe we are one of those petals. But if we have wisdom and insight, when we can see that this petal cannot be there, cannot exist without the other petals, without the stem, without the pollen, without the body, the branch of the, without the plant. We see the interbeing nature of ourselves as a petal to all the other petals and to the rest of the plant. And as practitioner, we are a petal of a flower. And that we know we need to be nourished by other petals and by the whole plant. And that we ourselves play a role in helping to nourish the other petals and the whole plant. So therefore we don't need to look for individual happiness, because the happiness of the whole, the beauty of the whole tree is our own happiness, beauties. We have to see that. And that's non-self. That's the insight of non-self. Non-self, it doesn't mean that we're not there. Non-self means that we are related. We are interrelated. We are inter-are with everything else. And that's the practice. And that we're practicing not to be beautiful ourselves alone, but we are practicing so that the whole plant can be beautiful. And that this beauty is not only a beauty of one petal, but it's really the beauty of the whole plant, the whole flower. Because if the other part of the plant is not beautiful, then there's no way we can be beautiful. And as a practitioner, we need to practice with the Sangha. And then maybe, so the petal, it's body, but the whole plant, it's body as well. The whole flower, it's body. So for example, when we are doing sitting meditation or walking meditation, we are a member of the Sangha. When we have mindfulness and concentration, each step can bring us freedom and peace. When we breathe mindfully, we're free, we're peaceful. And the other person is not us, but her practice of peace and freedom also helps our peace and freedom. If we are a drop of oil in a bowl of water, then we cannot really benefit from the others. And now we have to see that our future is the future of the Sangha. And that we're not looking for individual well-being or happiness, and that we have to, and that our happiness is the happiness of the Sangha. And as lay people, they're married, have children, have a family, and if they want to be happy, they have to also see that as well. And that family is a flower. And that they when they look for happiness, they're not just looking happiness for themselves alone, but they look for happiness for the whole family. When they're married to someone, it's so obvious that the happiness of the other person is their happiness. And if that person knows the practice, then that person will have more chance to be happy. And if that person does not know the practice or the value of happiness, spiritual happiness and peace, and that person will not help us to be happy, and will not help us to practice. And as a monastic, we know in the Sangha, as a practitioner, we know that in a Sangha, everyone is doing their best to practice. And that our own success in the practice is the success of the whole Sangha. And that to look for individual happiness, does not exist. So the term Sangha is very important. A petal has its body. And this petal needs to take care of its body. But its body is not just that petal. Its body is the whole plant. Because if the plant is not well, then that petal will not be well as well. And so that petal can see that it's a petal on a flower, but it also see that it is the flower, it is the plant as well. And that if the plant is not well, plant is not beautiful, then it's not beautiful, it's not peaceful either. And so as a practitioner, if we say that the Sangha is no longer right for me, that I want to look for another Sangha, it means that you haven't really seen the meaning of a Sangha, and that each one of us practices to manifest. Each one of us has the Sangha body, the Dharma body, and that we have recognize that the the members in the Sangha are really practicing, are really happy, are really peaceful. That's why we have chosen this Sangha. And so to help the Sangha to be beautiful every day, we need to take care of ourselves with the practice. And that we should not ask for the Sangha to be like this or to be like that. And if we want the Sangha to be like this and like that, it's all up to us. It's all up to our practice. And that we have to be, we have to be the inspiration. We have to be an inspiration for other people, for the Sangha. And that if the Sangha is becoming more beautiful, then we are becoming more beautiful as well. And that there's nothing private or nothing separate individual. In the retreat in Hong Kong, we said that our future Buddha is not a, it might be a Sangha. It might come in a form of a Sangha. When I met Martin Luther King in 1966, we discussed about Sangha community. And that we said that the 20th century is a century it's reigned by individualism. Therefore, people cannot live together, and that there's discrimination, violence, that the 20th century is the century of blood shedding century, and that when we go into the 21st century, we don't want, the Buddha does not want to be, to manifest as one individual anymore, but the Buddha wants to manifest as a community, as a Sangha. And so I've said it many times that our Buddha of the 21st century is a community. And it's only with the community, with the Sangha, that we can cure the illness of individualism. And that only with community life that we can heal the society, the sickness of individualism. And so Martin Luther King said, I was young, Martin Luther King was young. We were only 40, in our 40s. And Martin Luther King called his community the beloved community. The beloved community. Thang thang yêu quý. Unfortunately, Martin Luther King was assassinated shortly after that, so he was not able to continue with his building of the beloved community. But Thay is more fortunate. Thay has a chance to build Thay's beloved community. And so beloved community is a very good term. And that the Sangha, our Sangha has to build love, brotherhood, because these are the elements that are really needed in our world right now. The world is not short of money, short of fame, but But what the world needs is love, and that it cannot be created automatically. It can only be created with the build, with the practice, and that love cannot be bought out in the market, and that it can only be generated with the practice, with the understanding the suffering of other people. And it is only with understanding that love is possible. Just as Nirvana, the Buddha or the Buddha, it is not something of the future, not something belong to the future, or not something outside of us, but Nirvana or the Buddha is inside of us. And the Buddha is in the form of a Sangha. The Buddha has already manifest. We don't need to ask the Buddha to pray the Buddha to manifest. The Buddha is already manifested, and that each one of us is the body of the Buddha. And that we don't need to look for our own individual future, and that we are already Buddhas. We are a child of the Buddha, and that we need to have this insight that we don't need to look for individual happiness, but we look for a collective happiness. And that in the Sangha we can create the energy of love and understanding. And when we can see that, then our anxiety and worry will disappear. And that leaving the Sangha, we have nothing. And that we have to see that we are a self of the Buddha's body, a member of the Sangha, part of the Sangha. And the happiness of oneself can help create happiness for the other selves. So we didn't study any new verses. Sister Xing Yim, we have to rewrite them again next time. Please keep your headphone on for announcement after the Dharma talk. Thank you. We need to revise what we have learned before in order to continue. This afternoon we will have a being where our brothers and sisters who are on the tour will report their experiences of the tour of five countries.
Suggest that the Sangha will have a walking meditation to the Buddha's garden. We would stand around the Buddha's status and we chant the May the Day Be Well. Thay has offered one lotus flower and one chrysanthemum and the lotus to the Buddhas. So we will chant